Ladies, it's me, Ashley Shepherd, and I am so excited to do the very first video for Fervent. I just want to welcome you to Beautifully Designed. Some of you may have been with us from the very beginning of September 2015, and some of you are brand new. So just welcome. Welcome to this neat little online Bible study that we launched. I did want to share just a brief version of just what God did to bring us all together. And really, just so you can understand what you're a part of, because it's pretty amazing. So last fall, in September of 2015, my friend Jamie Young and I thought it would be really neat to do a little online Bible study of Angie Smith. Her devotion of Seamless that went through the Bible is one complete story. It was amazing. We were doing it at my local church on Wednesday nights. And so we thought we could gather a couple hundred women between us. Well, in just about 4 weeks, we had over 9,000 women commit to do Seamless. In the month of December, we read through Proverbs. We did a proverb a day just to stay focused on the Bible during the holidays. And then in January, we read Angie Smith's What Women Fear, which was a chapter book. It's an amazing book. We still have the videos available, and those are always going to be available to you. You can look at those videos at beautifullydesigned.com under online Bible studies. Click What Women Fear, and all of the videos are there. So anytime you want to pick up that book and do that, you have the opportunity to. But now we're on Fervent, and now we have almost 14,000 women. And so this group, the Beautifully Designed group, I feel like God has gathered and rallied all of his daughters all across the world to one community. And this community is designed to do one thing, and that is to help all of us women find our identity in Christ. So many of you are moms and your wives and your sisters and your aunts and your nannies and your cooks and your chauffeurs and your everything in between. But at Beautifully Designed, you're just you. I'm just Ashley Shepherd. Jamie's just Jamie Young. Denise is just Denise. Donna is just Donna. So we are just us. And the expectations for you is not to be perfect. It's not to have it all together, but it's to depend on him and to build your relationship with Christ. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior and you're really not even sure what that means, that's okay. I would love to pray with you and to answer your questions about that anytime. So please reach out to me if you have any questions at all about what that is and what that looks like for you. Just wanted to throw that out that I am here for you in that. So let's just jump in and get started. We chose Fervent because let's just be honest. Prayer is difficult. I know for me, so many times in my walk, I almost have been paralyzed to the point to where I really don't pray. I either overcomplicate it because I think I should say the perfect words or has to be wrapped up in a pretty bow, or I just get overwhelmed and it's just so big that I freeze up and I don't do it at all. Or let's just do this. Let me just be real. You get the real Ashley Shepherd tonight. I'm too busy. I put everything above my prayer life, my work, my kids, my husband, my errands, my grocery shopping, my cooking, life. And I have really came to the conclusion that I have not made my prayer life a priority. And I've gone through different seasons where I have, and so it's time to get serious because the reality is in the Bible in John 10:10, it says we have the real enemy that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know that. And we already know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He comes in our hearts, and that we have the ability, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the ability to tap into that and to put on our fighting gloves and to say, you know what, even though there's an enemy out there, he can't touch me. Because I'm a daughter of the King. And that is what we're going to tap into in this book. And this is how it's going to work. I've posted this a couple different times, but if you're new, each Monday we start a new chapter. And so read through on your own. On Thursday mornings, I'll post this live video. It's recorded, so you can actually watch it anytime. And then I'll start discussion threads on Thursday afternoons and prayer forums on Fridays. And so we have the opportunity to just go back and forth about what God's showing us, And then on the prayer forums, I have created a little prayer wall, and so many of you have too. And so you have the opportunity. I'm going to write my prayers that you guys type out on Fridays. I'm going to print those out, and I'm going to put that on my prayer wall. And I'm going to go to my knees, and I'm going to go to the God who beautifully designed us. And I'm going to pray for your requests and battle, be in this battle with you. And we have an amazing, beautifully designed ministry team that I'm going to introduce to you very soon, probably next week, that's also going to be lifting you up in prayer. And we're going to duplicate that each week. Monday, we'll start chapter 2. Thursday, we'll post the recorded video. Thursday afternoon discussion thread. Friday, prayer requests for that week. And we are going to do that for the next 10 weeks. And I am so excited because, as you can tell, on the very opening section, the introduction, which she calls opening in prayer, she's amazing. You know, Priscilla Schreier has a very great perspective. I love her writing. I love her viewpoint. And so I want you to really, if you've got the worksheet for the introduction, I want you to pull that up. And I've got it right here. We've already talked about what it says in John 10:10, but look what it says in Luke 4. You see, Satan tempted Jesus. And the reality is this. He is the perfect example of what to do when we're tempted. And the way this book is every chapter is a different strategy of how the enemy is going to try to come steal our joy. Chapter 1, we're going to tackle passion. I love that this is the first strategy because if Satan can get into the passion in our lives, he can pretty much cut off a lot of things that could bear fruit, right? So it's very important that we understand the reasoning behind that. And in Luke 4, you can turn to your Bibles and read that after the video. As Satan tries to tempt Jesus, you see what Jesus does. Scripture after scripture, he quotes. So what does that mean? Well, that means Jesus knows his scripture. He is memorizing God's words. So that is what we're going to do. As we go through this and as we read through the introduction in chapter 1 at the end, we're going to write our prayer strategy on our cards. Now, if you've got the book version, there's cards at the very back. And as you can see, they're amazing. You can print on these cards and tear them out or just get a journal and write in your journal. And so you can keep up with it because she says in the introduction, it's very important to write these things down. Why? So we can remember them. Because God, he's right there. And all we have to do is reach up and talk to him and converse with him and just be real, be ourselves with him. And we have the ability to write those things down. And so we want to always look back to see how God answered those prayers. And sometimes God doesn't answer prayers, and we're thankful for that, right? There are so many times in my life I have prayers written down like, oh, I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer because something else, the most beautiful thing happened that I didn't even expect. So write these things down. So we're going to learn different areas of our life how the enemy tries to do that. And we're going to write our prayer strategies down. And I love how she wrote the analogy of the P-R-A-Y-E-R. Prayer releases all your eternal resources. And if prayer is new to you, I like the way that she kind of teaches us how to do it. Now, if you're like me, you struggle with that because you sit down or you get on your knees or you're sitting there or you close your eyes and you start thinking about the laundry, the kids running around, or how tired you are. And so the reality is this, guys, we've got to just think about your space and your environment. You know, if you're praying and kids are running around, it needs to be just in a quiet place, and it doesn't have to be a 30-minute prayer. So find your space, find your prayer room, find your war room, because we're in a battle for Satan to not steal our joy in any areas of our life. Find your war room. And I want you to just sit in silence. And it's weird and it's awkward, and we're in a world where our phone dings every 5 seconds and our kids are running around, or maybe we're at work and we're just busy. Let's just sit. I want every single person, when you pray your prayer strategy and your prayer card, you're required to sit in a quiet space for no less than 2 minutes. And guys, I want you to set a timer, and that is a 2 minutes. You have to just be quiet. And I really just want you to just be still for a minute and allow God just to quiet your heart, quiet your mind, and quiet your spirit. Okay, I think this is really important. On page 21, she kind of guides us of how to pray if you're uncertain of what that looks like. If you're like me, you just roll your tongue, just request after request after request. Lord, please do this. And, you know, please, I have this request and I need you to do this. And maybe you're a control freak or a helicopter mom like me, and you start to ask God to do certain things. So I want you to switch your mindset, guys, because Jesus, he created us. He died for us. He saved us. He gives us grace and mercy every single day. So what if we did our prayers like on page 21 and we started out with P and we just praise him. We tell God who he is to us. So I like to say the very first things is, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you because you are a big God. You give me grace every single day when I mess up. You're amazing. You're so lovable. You love us unconditionally. So I praise him and I thank him and I praise him for my kids. I thank him for my husband. And I start my prayers out with a grateful spirit. And then the R is repentance. Is there anything in your life or that day that you need to just ask God to forgive you for? And if you're like me, prayer time is not the only time that you're asking for forgiveness. And so a lot of times after I thank God and I've got that grateful heart and mindset and spirit, I go on to repentance and that looks a little bit like, Lord, please forgive me for snapping at my kids. Please forgive me for ignoring my husband and being frustrated at him for the smallest things. God, I pray that you just forgive me for just having a heart of jealousy towards a friend. Lord, I pray that you forgive me for just judging that person that I saw today. I don't know what repentance looks like for you. Maybe it's, Lord, forgive me for, you know, drinking alcohol or maybe looking at another man a certain way that I shouldn't. Guys, we deal with so many things in our lives that we don't have to be ashamed for because the Lord will forgive you and he will wash your sins away as white as snow. So it's okay to be real with him because he already knows you and your sin, but he also knows your heart. And nobody is perfect. The only person perfect is Jesus who walked this earth. So the great thing is as you're speaking your repentance, we're all 14,000 of us are doing the same thing. So never feel guilty or bad or you don't know how to come to the Lord because of the past things you've done or maybe it's the things that you've done today you're ashamed of. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be ashamed of anything because you have a God who loves you in spite of you. And that grace that he can pour over you as you give those repentance and those requests to him, I just want you to feel it just come across you and that you know in your heart and your mind that you are forgiven. And once you give that repentance to him, you can let it go. Because, you know, asking those requests, that's the A, that's part of it. God, we need God. If we didn't have those requests, we wouldn't have the need for him. And then the Y, trust. Yes, I love that. The word yes, his promises are true. Trust in his promises. And we're going to be in the word during these chapters and you're going to know his promises. You may not know that now, but you will as this goes through. So chapter one is passion. And of course, like I said, if he can get inside of your passion, he can pretty much get inside of anything that's in your life. I love the very first part of it. Passion is the fuel and the engine of your purpose. If Satan can dim your passion, he can lower your resistance to temptation and discouragement because passion is what keeps you moving in the direction your best intentions want to go. Guys, we don't wake up in the morning. We wake up in the morning and our feet hit the ground and we may have the best intentions in the world. But let me be honest with you. There's days I wake up, my feet hits the ground, and my first thoughts are, oh, I feel fat. I'm having a fat day. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, my gosh, this kid's throwing up. Oh, I don't even know how I'm going to get my to-do list done. And what happens, my passion is dimmed because of my self-esteem and my insecurity in myself. My passion is dimmed in life because of my to-do list. Because I'm overwhelmed with the situations I'm going through. And so I want you to really have reflection of where you are in your life. My first question is here, you know, why would Satan make stealing passion in your life your primary goal? Ask yourself, have you lost your passion in life? there have been seasons in my life, and one even recently in 2015, very recent, when I was going through a difficult situation with my three-year-old. And some of you may know the situation. And it was a long season. And it was a season where I woke up in the mornings and I wanted to just crawl back in bed. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody's face. I just wanted to just stay put. My passion was gone. I didn't even have a passion for the daily chores like laundry and dishes or just to get the basic things done like feed my kids, right? My passion was gone for my job, my passion for the Lord. I felt stuck in life. I didn't know what to do with this situation, so everything else just fell apart. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you're there now. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you're on the mountaintops. Maybe you are loving life. Things are going great. Your kids are healthy. You know, you may be in some stressful situations, but nothing big enough that's going to diminish your passion for life. I don't know where your passion lies. I gave you two spectrums, the mountaintop and the valley. And maybe you're somewhere in between, right? Or maybe it looks a little bit like this. And you're on a roller coaster. In the morning, you're by midday, you're this. And then the evening, you're back up here. Maybe you're on the roller coaster with your emotions. I want you to be realistic of where you are and let reality slap you in the face. Okay? I think that is very important. And I love that she starts in. And I want you to go to on page 26, passion is the fuel and the engine of your purpose. Guys, he created us and designed us for a specific purpose. And sometimes we always get, oh, what's my purpose in life? And we get all caught up. Is it my job? Is it my hobbies? Is it helping a certain organization? What is my purpose? Guys, we have a lot of things on our plates and a lot of things that we love and we don't love about what we do in life. Your one purpose in life is to grow your relationship with Christ. Your one purpose in life is to find your identity in Him. Because if you can be in the Word and you can understand how much God loves you, then you can understand what He has for you. But until you understand what that looks like for you, you are going to be running around in the wilderness and you're not going to know what you're going to be doing. You don't understand where you're at in life. And so I think it's very important that all we have to know is our purpose in life is to be in the Word. And I really hope this book, Fervent, helps you get in that habit of doing that. And so be real with your passion. Okay, so we're going to go on to the second question. And really we need to understand what Satan is trying to do and the difference between what God does and what Satan does. What is the difference between condemnation and conviction? When God convicts us of something when we're doing wrong versus when Satan tries to come in and make us feel condemned for life. And she says it perfectly. I love this quote. Instead of convicting you for the purpose of restoring back your life, as God's Spirit does, Satan condemns you for the purpose of destroying and humiliating. See, God can convict us where we're wrong or where we need to make some tweaks in areas or change some things in our life because He's making us better and He wants to restore us to be better. Satan wants to condemn you and make you feel humiliated and make you feel insecure that you have no talents, you have no ability, you have nothing to offer your children, you have nothing to offer your husband, you have nothing to offer your job or the world. You are nothing in this world. And I can remember as a little girl sitting down in my room, and I remember getting little what was that stationery? It was the little bunny rabbit. I can't even think of the name, but it was old school stationery. Maybe someone can post it on the page if you remember the name of it. I remember getting that stationery, and do you know what I wrote on it? And this was very a small age, like 6 or 7 years old. I wrote, I am stupid, 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 on every single piece of paper in that stationery, probably over 50 to 60 times. And I remember that memory. I'll never forget it. Guys, the enemy was starting at a very young age, and maybe you've got young daughters and sons who are experiencing that same thing where at a young age, the enemy comes in to make us feel stupid and humiliated. But we have a God who beautifully designed us in His image So not only as I was writing, I am stupid. Not
home.
only as I'm waking up in the morning thinking I'm fat and I look awful. Why did my husband marry me? I feel awful about myself. I'm not bashing Ashley Shepherd. I'm bashing God's image. And so think about it. You have to know the difference between Satan's condemnation and the Lord's conviction in your life. When he wants to restore your heart, he wants to give you a renewed, fresh hope and encouragement. He doesn't want to shame you for your past and your mistakes. He wants to restore you and make you better. And so you have a renewed vision. And not only that, is he is going to use that in your life to encourage someone else. I love using my insecurity, breathe life and hope into someone else to say, I've been there, but guess what? God has restored me. I can open up my word and know that I am not the person that just wants to be invisible, but I am a person full of purpose because he designed me in his image. And I refuse to bash his image anymore. I'm Ashley Shepherd in this world, on this planet, to be a difference maker for Christ because I am his and he created me. So I want you to understand the difference. Know the difference in your heart. Number three, have you ever lost your cutting edge? Oh my gosh. Oh, I could write a book about this myself. Ask yourself, is it gone now? Is it gone now? I'll never forget as a young child, even the teenage age. So I'm kind of a free spirit personality. Most of you know that. You know me. You know that about me. And there was a time in my life that free spirit flew. And I'll never forget just, you know, there's different seasons in my life. Teenager, young married person, as a young new mom. Just, you know, I love life. I felt like the Lord had just blessed me so much. And, you know, I was on it. You know, I was doing wonderful, that cutting edge. And then there's times in my life where it's just gone. I'm not motivated to even do the laundry. The dishes are piling up. I look around. I'm stepping on Legos. I look at my kids and I'm like, my goal is just to not mess you up in your head. I don't know. Just that the whole concept of losing your cutting edge. Guys, we have to understand and know where we are right now, because guess what? It doesn't matter where we were yesterday or the day before or last year or 2012 or what happened in 2002. What matters is where we are today and where we're going, because where we are today is not going to be where we're going to be tomorrow, because our whole goal in this book is to recognize where Satan is in our life and where he's condemning us and how we can grasp a hold of God's grace and mercy in our lives and grasp a hold of his beautiful conviction to where we're better for tomorrow. And we're going to use the good, bad, and the ugly to give hope to someone else, because we're real and transparent and life happens. And guess what? We are here in God's image. So ask yourself, is your cutting edge gone? I want you to turn to page 33. I love when she says this. Whenever your passion in prayer is weak or missing, realize instead that it is God's work both to give it and then to fan that flame inside of you, which means you cannot manufacture it on your own. So whenever your cutting edge is gone or your passion diminishes for life or for your job or for maybe it's a specific thing, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's parenting, because there are so many times that I was over adulting and parenting and I just wanted to quit it. Quit motherhood altogether, just that frustration of I don't know what I'm doing, and we've all been there, right? So we have to understand and know where we are. Not only that, as we have to know that we can't manufacture it on our own. So let's just take this baggage and this weight that we put on our shoulders, that we have to have it together, and we have to do XYZ to be able to feel that passion again. We can't do it. It's physically impossible. God is the only one who can fan that flame and put that passion and that cutting edge back in our life. See, if we know who we are in his image and if we know who we are in Christ, then that passion is going to slowly come. But that passion comes with peace. That passion comes with comfort. Even in the midst of a storm, we're going to feel that peace Why? Because Jesus is fanning the flames of that passion in our life. Hosea 6:3, he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. I love how she ended it, and she talked about in the end of where that scripture in Hosea, and I just picture us, my free spirit as it is, just standing in a rainstorm and the rain just pouring down all over us, and we're getting soaked and our hair's wet and our jeans are getting heavy. Maybe they're coming down a little bit and our shirt's wringing wet. And we feel just that spirit coming upon us, and we feel Jesus saying, I'm here and I'm pouring that passion down on your heart and in your mind. Whatever's going on in your life and wherever you're at on your passion scale, whether you're in the valley or on the mountaintop or somewhere in between, I'm going to fan that flame of passion wherever you're at in life. So I want you to see the scriptures that she starts on page 35, 36, and 37. The last scripture, Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you that heart of flesh. Guess what, guys? That's what he wants to do. That passion that he wants to rain upon you as you get drenched with that, he's putting that new heart, that new spirit, regardless of your circumstances, so you can go with it head on. Warriors for Christ, you're getting, I can just picture, as we're wet, we're also putting our gloves on, right? We're getting those gloves, and we're like, bring it, Satan. My passion may be gone right now, but that is about to change, because I'm going in my war room, I'm getting on my knees, and it's time for the Lord to fan that flame again, because I can't do it on my own. We need Jesus to do that. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer as I end this session one, and then I'm going to end with a couple of announcements here at the end. Then I want you to get in your prayer closets, and I want you to be real with Jesus of where you're at and what you're excited about. Because my fighting gloves are on, and I'm ready to pray for you. I'm ready to battle for you, because we're warriors of Christ. And if you have not been saved and you're not even sure what that means, message me your phone number and we can talk about it. I would love to share my personal testimony with you and pray with you. And if you're even in a driving distance away, I'll come to you. All right, guys, so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to end with some announcements. Lord, we just... You are a God, you're an amazing God, who brought over 14,000 women together in one community for one purpose. And that purpose is to find our identity in you and to know that we're beautifully designed with that purpose in mind. We want to thank you for that. We want to thank you that you care about the little things in our life. You care about the big things in our life. You care about everything in between, because you designed us. You knew, you're not surprised with what we're facing right now. You're not surprised that our passion may be gone. You're not surprised that we're in the valley, or maybe we're on the mountaintop. But Lord, wherever we're at right now in this moment, and right as these women are closing their eyes with me, I just pray that they feel your peace. They feel this passion and this renewed spirit, Lord. And maybe it happens in an instant, and they feel your arms wrapped around them right now. Maybe they feel that. Maybe it's not a feeling, because we can't go by feelings all the time, Lord. Maybe it's just confirmation through your words, or maybe it's an encouragement through a friend. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to their hearts in the quiet. I pray that these women can learn to be quiet so they can hear your voice. Through your word, they can hear your voice through the peace in their hearts, where they know it's only from you. Lord, I just pray right now as we go through Fervent that you help us learn how to pray prayers that is just going to get that Satan so far away from us that he doesn't even know what's going on. All I can imagine right now is 14,000 women waking up, putting their feet on the ground, knowing who they are, and saying, game on, because I know that the Lord's going to give me the passion I need today, because I can't do it on my own. As we continue through chapter one, Lord, speak to these women, speak to their hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing all of us together for one goal and one purpose. And I just pray for each of us as we go into Easter season, Lord, that we just thank you that you're alive. You're alive in your inner hearts. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that we spend the weekend teaching our children, or we just spend the weekend just basking in gratefulness that we have a Savior who is alive and well, and he is pouring his passion down on us each and every day. Thank you again for this amazing ministry, and I pray that we're good stewards of it, and every word spoken is always from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me pray with you, and I'm just excited about what this study is going to be for you and even for me. I cannot wait to see you at the Angie Smith event on April 2nd. If you don't know about it, it's a ministry event that we're going to have here in Miraval, Tennessee on April 2nd. Author and speaker Angie Smith is coming. We're going to have worship. She's going to speak because we have surprises. We have gifts. We have a meet and greet. We have time with Angie. I want time with you. I want to hug your necks. I want pictures with you. I want one group beautifully designed picture of all of us in one area. This is a time to come together, but this night is for you, and we have so many surprises for you. If you don't have your ticket, go to angiesmithevent.com, $22. If you don't have the money for your ticket, message me because we want you there. I really want you to commit to this study. And next week, I'm so excited to announce the beautifully designed ministry team. These are amazing godly women who don't have it together, but who depend on God's grace in their lives to get through. These are women of all different ages and all different walks of life who is not only committed to pray for you, but they are committed to answer questions and to be there for you. So I'm excited. We're going to have some exciting things come down with our amazing, beautifully designed team. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the commitment to Fervent. Life's going to happen during the study. The enemy's going to try his hardest. But I know right now that Jesus is going to ignite that passion, which is going to just fuel you for the rest of this study, which in turn, I hope it changes your life and you become closer and closer and closer to Jesus. I love you, ladies. And this is a little bit longer video, but I'm a little passionate about this very first chapter because so many times in life, Satan has stolen my passion and he is not going to do it anymore. I love you, ladies. Y'all be blessed.